Welcome to Out Now Podcast that amplifies the voices and topics which help us think of situations differently.
We are your hosts, Tanya and Janine. We believe that together we can make a difference by discussing important and even fun topics of our time.
Out Now Podcast delves into the stories and experiences of individuals who have faced tough times. We uncover the hidden narratives in difficult topics.
Through this podcast, we strive not only to inform, but also to empower our listeners. Together, we can raise awareness and spark meaningful dialogue.
We believe that everyone has a role to play in shaping the world we live in. So join us as we oust now. Trisha Asselin.
William Frank Brackett.
Peyton Brewer Ross.
Thomas Tommy Conrad.
Michael Desilarius II.
Jason Walker.
Keith McNear.
Brian McFarlane.
Ronald Ron Morin.
Arthur Artie Strout.
Joseph Joey Walker.
Joshua Seal.
Max Hathaway.
Robert Bob Violet.
Lucille Violet.
Stephen Steve Bozella.
William Bill Young and his son, Aaron Young.
Let's have a moment of silence for the victims in Lewiston, Maine. On October 25th, a lone gunman kills 18 people, injures 13 others in another shooting spree. Here we are again. Since we started recording for this season, this is the second time in, 4 weeks? Maybe 6 weeks, even maybe 8 weeks, that we're here again talking about another mass shooting. So here we are. The only difference is that this is not a racially motivated shooting.
Right. A lot of the other ones really was, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other one was, yeah, because we were talking about Jacksonville. When, I don't know if you feel the same way, but like, do you feel to a degree that we are becoming desensitized?
We're getting numb to it because it happens. So I don't okay. Honestly, okay. No, I think every time it happens, it's just as hurtful, and it's just as tragic, regardless of where it's at. On my part, I don't know about anybody else, but speaking for myself, it's sad to me. I don't think I can ever get used to tragedy. Mm-hmm. Any kind of tragedy. And if it is a situation My God, we really have a problem.
Oh, we do have a problem. It's a big problem here. Yeah. And like, I don't think I've become desensitized. I can't say that word. I don't know. But every time it's like, well, here we are again.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like there ain't shit we can do about it. Only thing we could do is read about it on the news, pray for the victims, mm-hmm. pray for all the families involved, including the families of
Robert Card.
Of Robert Card.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all we can do. But it seems like there is no safe place. There is no safe place. And I'm just being realistic. You could be bowling for a youth event. You could be playing at a cornhole tournament, which is the case here. But
eating,
there is no
right. Restaurant. Just
having a meal, right, going to the movies.
Right.
It's just like there's no safe place from someone who's hellbent on doing harm to others. So I think we should get into the facts of the case, or some of the facts of the case. So this was October 25th. Robert Card, he goes on a shooting spree to different locations in Lewiston, Maine. The first location being the Just in Time Recreation Bowling Alley, where there was a youth league event. And the second location was the Shimenji's Bar and Grill Restaurant shortly after. So, you know, that's obviously not the whole story, but that's the beginning of this particular story. Because, hey, here we are again. Forgive my sarcasm, but hey. But 18 victims who've lost their lives to this act of violence. 13 others were injured.
Mm-hmm.
And the gunman has also taken his own life. So there'll be no accountability. There'll be no jail time. There'll be nothing.
I definitely feel like there will be some level of accountability, since they are investigating how they missed all the red flags. Like, his family was trying to get him help. He said that he was hearing voices.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we still end up here? And I don't want to be harsh, but I also don't want to be insensitive either to him or his family. And a part of me also feels like, hey, did he slip through the cracks? Is somehow, how didn't they catch this? How do you hold for someone that's saying that they're hearing voices for 2 weeks? Only 2 weeks. This person is saying they hear voices. They're saying they're hearing voices that says to harm other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we get 2 weeks of timeout.
Right. So let's kind of back into it. So some of the timeline is, so back in May. So before May of 2023, according to his family, there was no signs of any type of mental illness. Everything was fine. But backing up to May, there was the very first report of him hearing auditory hallucinations. So that's from May. So we're from May, June, July, August, September, October. It took 5 months. This whole scenario took place over a 5 month period, because in May is when he first started showing signs, which was reported.
Okay.
So this whole scenario took place starting back in May, so about a 5 month period. where in May 2023, there was the first report of him experiencing a mental health decline because he was having auditory hallucinations. In July, he was threatening to, it's hard to even say it.
Unalive.
Yeah, he was threatening to unalive a bunch of people at a military base. Law enforcement was notified, and that's where he was recommended to have a psych eval. And stemming from that psych eval, he received 2 weeks of treatment, where it was determined that he could not have a weapon or handle ammunition. That was in August.
It was too late, right?
But by then it was too late. Correct. By then it was too late because he already had purchased his firearms prior to that psych evaluation. In September, there was a wellness check by the authorities after he had punched a fellow reservist who asked him to stop talking about unaliving people and pew-pewing places. But even after this psych evaluation, he was still talking about it. And then in October, I guess he decided that he was going to fulfill his plans. 2 weeks of psych evaluation where all they can tell you is you shouldn't be eligible to handle these things. He definitely, you were saying this when we were talking about doing this episode, did he slip through the cracks? Abso-fucking-lutely he did. Somebody, everybody missed the boat. I can't even, like, it's such a basic term, like slipping through the cracks. Not a basic term, but oh man, people just slip through the cracks. Okay. But when, like, this is something my old supervisor used to say. She said, the devil's in the details. It is. Because that's how things, people, slip through the cracks. And that's how tragedies like this occur.
So, it's not like he was going on... reported. We all establish, or we all have that sense like more could have been done, but then when you think about what that more is, what the hell is the more? Like, should they have kept him longer? Should they have done their homework to see that, hey, it's kind of late because he already purchased weapons. What is the more here? Like, I am so like, where did it get lost? What was overlooked? We all established there was red flags. It wasn't like he was quiet about it, right? So he's out there clearly saying what his plan is.
Yeah.
And he was able to act on it. It's different when you don't know. Like, damn, I ain't even know nothing was wrong with him. I didn't even know she was depressed. Like, I didn't even see that coming. But it's a level of anger almost. Hey, he was telling y'all what he was gonna do.
Yeah. And it seemed like there was no follow-up. I don't know. Like, I understand, like, law enforcement, they have a very tough job. And I hate, like, I'm not gonna come, I don't know. They have a very tough job. Maybe there's not enough.
Nah, I don't even think.
I wasn't gonna say law enforcement. It's not
mental health, area mental health, or the like. These people need help.
But it usually starts with law enforcement, right? Because somebody's like, okay, I need to call the police because this person is a danger to society.
And then they send them to get evaluated. Yeah, that's
And then
true.
they send them, right? But then there's no follow through after the fact, right? Okay, so we call the police. They're like, oh, let's get him evaluated. Okay, he's evaluated. You can't have weapons. But how come no one checked to see if he already had some weapons? Where,
Yeah,
where, where?
definitely.
What's that about?
Right.
So it seems like we are not equipped as a society to handle things like this, because you can't expect the police to, they can't, they physically cannot. They physically cannot, and I'm not, they physically cannot. There's not enough mental health professionals in there, there aren't any mental health professionals that work with the police to help, right? But I think I think that needs to be a part of it. There was this documentary that I watched maybe about 4 or 5 years ago where they were doing a test pilot of that, where instead, when police go out for a mental health or wellness check, they also send a mental health professional. I have got to find the name of that damn documentary. It might have been
How
a
did that
series.
work?
They had a
Did it
task
work?
force. Yes, they had a task force that was dedicated, and it was in a more populated city. So of course, the more population, the more resources they're going to have to be able to even run a test like this. But if that was part of national policing, maybe, like, because if there's a mental health professional that's going, say, oh man, this guy's at risk, then they can say, with this, there needs to be follow up. There needs to be follow through for this person because he's a real danger.
And I also feel like, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure there's some red tape to it, but I feel once someone is deemed mentally unstable to a degree where, hey, they can't have any weapons because they've already made these type of threats, I feel like it should be taken a step further, and they should do exactly what we were talking about earlier, like do some research. Does this person already own weapons? Or hey, I think that would serve as a justifiable warrant, right? Hey, let's go see if this person has any weapons
Beforehand. Yep.
beforehand or even after the fact. Hey, no, he was deemed today that he had this mental evaluation and he's clearly a danger. So that in itself says, hey, search warrant, it's approved. Let's see. And I'm not trying to infringe on anybody's rights. That's not what I'm saying here. I don't want anybody saying, hey, she's mentally ill, let's go, because there's definitely levels, right? But anytime a person is threatening to harm themselves or other people, it's a level of emergency. Like that should always be taken serious. It should never be, oh, he just talking, or I'm tired of hearing him talk about this. Oh, he's talking. So someone might need to look into this. And I'm not saying that there wasn't people that were not attempting because like you spoke on earlier, his family was already like trying to help. But then again, okay, so I know somebody. Now I'm definitely I'm not putting anybody's business out there, but I know somebody that tried to get help for their family member when it came to their mental illness, and they couldn't do anything about it because they said that person was of age and that person had a mental condition, but they can't make him help himself. I think that's absurd.
Yeah, and
I think that's crazy.
I think someone like that, or anyone who's suffering from a mental illness. Now, let's be clear. Let's kind of define. Everyone at some point in life can experience a mental health concern. So this is not a way of judgment, because life be life. Okay? life, shit happens, and sometimes it's tough things that's going to happen that you have to deal with. So this is not what we're saying, or what I'm about to say, has nothing to do with judgment or anything like that, because anyone can have some shit happen. So there, but for someone who like this, I think that you get really good, or can get really good, at manipulating the people around you and surrounding you and telling you I'm fine, telling your people you're fine, you know, ensuring with the mental health professional that you're speaking with that you're fine. Why? Because you have intent to do something else, and you're going to make it so that way you can still succeed in your plans, whatever that is. But there's a level of manipulation to still get what you ultimately want. And sometimes our family members, and no judgment here, I'm not judging, I'm just saying that sometimes as family members, if someone says I'm okay, we take it for what it is, for various reasons. But there's a bunch of different reasons why someone could say, okay, you say you're fine, we're good. Because maybe we want to believe it. Maybe denial is not just the river in Egypt somewhere. So like, there's a bunch of different reasons why someone would be like, I'm going to take you for your word because you're a grown ass person and you said you're good. And then same thing with this therapist, like someone can get really good at manipulating the situation to get what they want. And I wonder if that was part of the issue here. I can't help but wonder. Yeah. I can't help but wonder. And I've seen that in action. I have seen that in action, and it's a very weird thing to see. And I won't go into the specifics of it, but I have seen it, and I'm like, this is absurd looking at it. And
I think it depends on who it is. I remember I was going through a really tough time, and I had someone like, hey, listen, you're either going to address this and tackle this on and call who the hell you need to call, right? Or I'm gonna step in, and this is gonna cause an issue with our friendship, right? So sometimes I think, is obligated the word I'm looking for? Yeah, maybe obligated. To the ones that we love, to push and to make sure. And sometimes even when you push, you still don't get the results. Like I was telling you earlier, I know somebody that was really pushing to try to help their family member, but the court was like, you don't have any say-so. What say-so do you have, right? So I do feel like sometimes our hands are tied, but at the end of the day, right, we have to do our part. And I feel like as long as you do your part, it's no longer in your hands at that point, mm-hmm. right? So you did your part. You did what you could, everything that you could possibly do on your end to try to get this person some help or get them to see that there's a problem. But now there's nothing, you know? So as far as his family is concerned, hey, I feel like, yo, y'all did y'all part. Y'all tried to get him the assistance that he needed. And somehow, which is definitely a need for investigation, how did this still happen? Because this should have never happened. It should have never happened. These 18 people should have never lost their lives because it was reported over and over and over and over. So that's where the anger comes in and can almost and can over almost take over the hurt, right?
Yeah.
Because you get angry, like, wait a minute, how did y'all let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, good. Investigate this, because this should never happen a fucking again. Yeah. Get that shit together so people won't lose their lives, lose their family members.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that game plan is. I'm not a professional. And so I really don't want to speak out of the anger and out of the hurt and out of the disgust, but how can you not, when you're reading article after article and listening to news report after news report saying, hey, nah, they were trying to get help, right?
And that failed too. Yeah. Because how many times do we hear where people weren't being proactive enough in getting help for that person? And then is when we kind of feel like, oh, well, no one was trying to help. But here we go, fast forward. There's mm-hmm. people actively trying, and it still happened anyway.
Right.
Which, oh, that's the saddest part with this here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the saddest part. Because through every effort, it still couldn't prevent it from happening. Is it preventable? I think it is. I think it is. Mm-hmm. It is fully preventable. Because this shit only happens here. It don't happen all over the world. It's something we're doing wrong in our society or in our laws that's making this happen. And I do.
Do you think it could be slow moving? And this is what I mean by slow moving. And this is kind of like a different scenario, but mm-hmm. right. I think about DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just, you know, mm-hmm. so you have a person, they get a DUI, they get a slap on the wrist. They mm-hmm. get another DUI, you know, a little bit harsher. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, why does a person have to go out there and hit somebody?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they're like, oh shit, DUI. Well, what the hell? Well, it was DUI before.
Yeah, well, like, even
why does everything have to be something tragic? Why does something tragic or dramatic or something with this awful outcome have to happen for people to be like, oh, well, it's time to fix this? Well, hell, we knew it was time to fix this.
Oh, we've known that.
Other times.
How many times? Like, I think the one that cut the worst, the two that cut the worst, is the one is between Sandy Hook and Uvalde. Those two mm-hmm. are the worst
yeah.
because it was targeting children. But this ain't the first time. I know. I'm going to say, this is not the first time, and we keep seeing it. I do not I believe, for people who believe this, it's in our amendment. It's in our amendment. We should have the right to own guns, but I do not think that we should be owning assault rifles that's mm-hmm. needed for warfare. I believe in mm-hmm. being able to protect your home and your family and your people, but an assault mm-hmm. rifle
is not needed.
Ain't it? I don't.
But I'm going to tell you something that somebody said to me one day, and it made me kind of look at it differently. Just in this thought, two things I want to say. You know, that Sandy Hook is actually how your niece got her name, because I was pregnant mm-hmm. when that happened.
Yeah, I remember.
And one of the victims, her name was Anna, and mm-hmm. that's how she got her name. And then the other thing, I don't really know if that's relevant, but I was like, oh yeah, that was so hurtful.
Yeah,
all them kids, it was just awful. Mm. But, and the other thing that was said to me when I'm like, what's necessary and what's not necessary when it comes to home defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said to this person, I was like, well, what is the need for that amount of ammunition?
Mm-hmm.
What is the need for assault rifle, right? What's the need of me in my home with that. And you know what he said? And I was like, well, damn, you have a point. So this is what he says. He says, well, the criminals on the street, they have them and they can come to your house with them. So then how do you protect yourself against the ones that are illegally purchasing, which
that's
it was
a problem
it was a
here.
Valid point.
A big problem.
Right? That was a valid point. So if they come to your house with this type of ammunition, how do you combat that?
You can't.
And that's kind of how I looked at it too, because there's no, well, that's not always true either. And I take that back. I'm going to tell you why. There was an incident where that really did happen, and I can't remember what it was. I really wish I could pull it up. But there was an incident where these guys really did come to this man's house with the intent to home invade. They was trying to commit a home invasion on this guy. And he pulled out his assault rifle. And that was it. Yo, you not coming here. Right?
Wow.
And so it's so hard because it's really that fine line. I can't really put it into words, but it saved his life. Like, if he wouldn't have had it, he wouldn't have been able to defend himself, right? But then the other part of me was like, well, did it really have to be an assault rifle to get the job done? Could it have been... Right, could it have been like, you know, a 9 or 45 or could
probably
it have
not.
Been like a,
I mean, realistically, a not. Okay, shotgun maybe.
A shotgun?
I mean, I'm just saying, shotgun, yes. I mean, the other stuff, I'm like, I don't know.
Not really? But he did it, like, right out there. Like, he took, like, they, look, hey. You know?
Well, I think it's funny that you say that because I don't necessarily, for me personally, like, I don't think that the solution is, well, let me get another assault rifle just to combat your assault rifle because
the assault was coming.
I don't think that's the solution.
Fight fire with fire. Okay.
But there is validity to the point of there's, you know, to each law, there's going to be someone out there who's going to figure out how to circumvent that law. And that speaks to the people, who are running around with illegal firearms because they're buying the parts and pieces to it and they're putting it together themselves. That is a really big business. I watched a documentary on, I think it was a History Channel, that specifically speaks to someone who's making a shit ton of fucking money. That's all he cares about. Let me tell you something. He's making a shit ton of fucking money just selling the parts and pieces. And people are putting it together at home. But is there a way to fix that? Yes, there is.
Yes, it is.
We can create laws to combat that and make that shit illegal. But is that being done? No.
No, because people are going to lose out on their dollars. Yeah, that's why they're not doing that.
Yeah.
But that should definitely be illegal. There should be no reason why you should be able to sell. That's just like... Well, I guess maybe it's not the same thing, but you know, that's like selling all the parts to put the bomb together, right?
Yeah, like, but some of it. But the thing is, you can do that with homemade items, right?
You can.
So there's a bit of a difference. You buy a pressure cooker. I bet you they keep track of everyone who buys a fucking pressure cooker because people can do it. So they can do it from regular household items. Mm-hmm. But can you do that with a gun? No, there's parts and pieces. And
unless you need, unless you like, I can't see that. Being able to buy the parts, they're able to buy the parts to these things and put them together at home. And I think that's a really major problem for me, even though that's not the case in this case. Like, we don't want to take the episode off target. It's just so hard not to go down that slope, right?
Yeah.
But like, it has to stop somewhere. There has to be something that we can do when it comes to mental health. It has to be something that can be done, because like you so, you know, validly stated earlier, you was like, it seems to be us. Like other places are finding ways to combat this and minimize this. I mean, where there's a will, there's always a way. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it will never happen, but not the way it happens here and now. And
yeah,
these 18 people,
and it's not
minding their damn business.
And it to be
a baby.
To be 14. Fair, 14, right? Like that's the youngest victim. But
come on,
there is such a bigger impact when it comes to this, because yes, 18 people lost their lives, but another 13 people were injured. Those are people that were physically impacted by this. But the greater issue is their families, the community, his family. There's such, like, everyone puts the, like, these are the victims. But it's bigger than just the victims. The victims, yes, that's a really big part. But it's bigger than, because you're impacting the society in that area. You're impacting the families and now have to deal with the fucking fallout of this. You're impacting the police, who now also have to deal with the fallout of this. The greater community, because here we are sitting on the other side of the world looking at them like, how the fuck does this keep happening? And every time it's like, how does this shit keep happening? There are, and you know, I was in a TikTok live last week when this first happened, and there was a man from another country who said this, and the country that he's from, there's a lot of hunting and they do a lot of hunting, but it takes them a year as a hunter, not for pleasure, for an actual purpose. It takes someone a year to be able to legally purchase and own a firearm to hunt, not for pleasure. So a year?
They can make it harder.
And it makes it harder.
They can make it harder. Right. Because I definitely feel like the average citizen, mm-hmm. right? You can make it harder for me, because if that's what it takes to combat, mm-hmm. this from happening again, right? So you can make it harder, right? But you know what else they could do? They could be harder on the ones that also gain a profit from doing it the wrong way, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like the people that are selling the parts, right?
There's no demand.
The people that illegally own weapons, right? Let's, you know, like, if we're going to fix the problem, you know, someone has to take a hit, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'll take the hit. You can make it harder for me to get a weapon. It's fine. I don't mind that, mm-hmm. right? So if I have to go through some extra red tape, you know, if I have to sit in, you know, whenever you go purchase a weapon, you have to kind of wait a couple of days, or sometimes you have to sit there for your background check or whatever, depending on.
Oh, no.
You know.
This guy from our general area said it took him 30 minutes.
Same day.
30 minutes.
Well, honestly, if you have a clear background, yeah it's true. It's pretty kind of.
But he did too. It is. He had a clear background. Here we are. And the guy,
well, that's true too.
The guy said that there are, well, I think the key thing is, because a lot of people are like, well, it's a mental health issue. Yes, it is a mental health issue, but there's a big, it's not just that, it's multifold, right? So if we just look at this one piece and focus on that, then we're missing the boat. But what he said was, in the process of them gaining a license to own and use it to hunt, there's a series of things that need to be done that include mental health checks and training and stuff like that. And I was like, huh, that's real powerful. Because like you said, here, 30 minutes later, you got a clear background check, you're a proud gun owner.
Right.
And
so I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. And when you really, really, when you think about it, look, nowadays you have to go through a process to drive a car. You have to go through a test to drive a car.
Yeah.
But to purchase a handgun, you go in there, you have a clear background, and then it's a done deal, sold, right? And so the people that are selling, on the other end of this, the people that are selling the guns, they're like, hey, I'm doing everything that's right. I'm doing everything that's in accordance to what the law says I'm to do, right? Mm-hmm. So once that background check comes back, that's it. But hey, give it a little bit more. Why not make it mandatory for them to have training classes? Why not make it mandatory for them to take some type of testing?
Mm-hmm. And repeated checks even after the purchase. Yep. Yep. I agree. Yeah.
Like every so often you got to do what? Renew your license, right?
Absolutely.
Renew your driver's license, right? So every so often, hey, you know, let's, you know, something that they can implement to make sure, you know, it might be an inconvenience. Hell, it's an inconvenience when we have to do, like I said, renew our license. It's an inconvenience when we have to do certain things, but hey, because I want to be able to drive, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that I'm still on the road, right?
Yeah.
So same thing. If you want to be a gun owner and you want to be a legal gun owner, then you'll be willing to do whatever it takes to go through that process. And if you are really legit, you won't mind the process, right? It's only people that have a concern or that may have a red flag that would be in fear of, let's make this process harder. Right?
Yeah, I agree. Cause I don't know. There's no, like you said, when you go to get your driver's license, you have to go through a series of checks. Anything that requires a license in this country, state, you have to have education first. You have to test for it. Even random shit, you have to. And then there's continuing education, right? So that's for anything. You want to be an electrician? Guess what? You want to be a real estate agent? Guess what? You want to be a plumber? Guess what? Continuing ed, licensing, education. But this is the only area where none of that is done. I don't know if it's the lobbyists.
Even your CDL. You got to get, like when I had my CDL and I was doing training, right?
Yeah.
I had to get tested every 2 years. You get tested to make sure you are on the road doing the right thing so you can teach others to be on the road doing the right thing. So I think, hey, make the process a little harder. I don't mind the inconvenience.
Yeah. And to be like,
don't say take my right away, right?
Yeah.
But maybe not a right. Maybe that's part of the problem, is that people are saying it's a right instead of saying it's a privilege. Like a driver's license is not a right. It's a privilege. Mm. So maybe if we did the same thing when it came to these weapons out here, instead of saying it's a right, hey, it should be a privilege.
Yeah.
Not a right.
I think that you...
Right? You should, you should earn it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think sometimes we get... Not we, because I'm not confused by this. But... You know, that right in the Constitution was written at a very different time. It was because a militia was needed. So that right was created based off of the time. Right? And the times we're living in right now, well, we don't need a militia right now. Will that change? Possibly. And maybe that's where we might need it. God willing, that will not be the case. God willing, that will not be the case, because people are crazy, okay? People are crazy, and they have some really strange ideas about life, and that I'm not one of them. But as it stands right now, we don't need. That's not that time. We're living in a completely different time, and like these assault weapons, they didn't exist. So, like anything, like how many amendments have there been written when it comes to the Constitution? And it's the one thing they don't want to fucking touch.
You know, I was so gonna go there. It's amazing how everything else they say, oh, okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Yo, I know this is off the topic, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about how they say there is no more need for affirmative action.
Mm. Yes, let's talk about that. I mean, it's just a good example.
Okay, right. So look, so there's no, oh, that was a need at the time, but you know what? Now it's no need for that, and it's actually causing the adverse effect, right? So if they can...
Right, because now it's reverse racism. And this is not everybody, you know, this is not all white people.
Right.
They don't all feel this way.
Right, not... Right, not everybody, but I'm just saying, like, in general, right? Okay, so if now we can see times have changed.
But have they?
When times have changed.
Quote, unquote. Right? So y'all listening, we're doing the finger motion. Times have
right.
changed.
Oh, yeah, no, but they can't see us doing the quotations, right? We're just doing it at each other. Okay, so. Right? I forgot, right?
Yeah.
So if they can see the need for change when it comes to that, how come every time you turn around when we tackle on this right here, when things like this happen, it's like, well, it's my right. It's my right. Yeah, but is that needed right now? Or you just don't want to be inconvenienced?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I think that's what some of this really is. Mm-hmm. I don't mind being inconvenienced. Inconvenience me if that means we can stop somebody else from getting a gun in 30 minutes and then using that same gun that they just purchased in 30 minutes and go kill a bunch of innocent people. So if you're really, oh, we have the right to this. Okay, well then that's fine. But it shouldn't be that easy.
You know what I was just thinking? And I'm going to use this one thing as a comparison. Do you remember back in the day when before people really understood the hazards of smoking cigarettes, the tobacco companies, they were putting a lot of money into politicians that were going, you know, they're lobbyists, right? They spent a lot of money on lobbyists that would support their cause until some bright person, and I don't know if I'm right here, but this is kind of what I'm seeing in my head. The people who put out the truth campaigns about the hazards of smoking, all of a sudden, you started to see that shift when it came to people who were smoking tobacco. Did that stop everyone from smoking? No.
No.
But did it stop a lot of people from smoking?
Absolutely.
Abso-fucking-lutely. It's like we need someone to have a truth campaign when it comes to that, to pave the way for change. You know, right. The tobacco companies, they don't have as much power as they used to when it came to lobbying and stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
But how many people, how much power do these gun manufacturers have now? And money do they have to throw at politicians and stuff like that to support their cause? I'm not being an alarmist, but this is just the way that the things are. So I think that there's a lot of money being thrown at a lot of politicians, and because that's, you know, these super PACs and shit like that, they're throwing so much money at them that they're not willing to say anything against the gun manufacturers, and they're not willing to try to pull forth any make common sense laws as it pertains to this, because they're getting money. They do not care enough, and they do not care enough because it's not them that's being impacted by it, because your kids, these politicians, your kids are in fucking private school. They're not the common citizen. They're living a different life than the 90% of people. So they're operating, making decisions for the rest of us who actually have to fucking live through it.
So since we're talking about that right there,
girl,
right?
That makes
so since we're already touching on that, how is it that now this guy is now talking about advocating against assault rifles. But wait, let that sit there. Why? Oh.
Because
it impacted y'all, right?
Well, yes. And
so when it was over here.
Uh-huh.
What was his name?
Oh, I'm not going to say it. But what we are going to say is he represents the 2nd Congressional District in Maine.
Okay.
We're not going to say his name.
Okay. So now that it has hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got a problem with assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it was over there and over there, and that's your house, that ain't mine, you know, it's fine. Oh, that's your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, now that it has happened, and that's exactly what my point was earlier. Why does something like this have to happen for action? Why does something like this have to happen for it to matter? It mattered all along,
mm-hmm.
right? It was an always issue, right? But now, oh shoot, that's in my hood.
Yeah.
That's my neighbor. Oh.
Oh, it's my district. Oh, I might have to change my mind here. Like, fuck you.
Right.
Excuse me. Fuck you, dude. Right. It's been an issue.
Right. Right. Like, it's sad. It's almost like, again, my heart goes out to every last victim and their families, that whole community, and Robert Card's family, because they tried. And I can't imagine, maybe to a degree, not to this degree, but imagine saying, hey, help,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, I had a similar situation. It wasn't to this degree, but you know, I'm like, hey, can you help me? Help me,
mm-hmm.
help him, help me. Tell me how, what I need to do on my end to help this situation, to save what I, because, you know, sometimes, and I'm pretty sure I might be wrong, but sitting back looking at it, they probably was like, oh yeah, yo, they need some help, right? Because I look at my situation, I was like, yeah, so this is what's going to happen. Either this is going to happen or this is going to happen, but someone need to step in before one of these things happen, mm-hmm. right? So my heart goes out to them, because I can't imagine what they must be thinking. Like, yo, we told y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said that he's not that person, I don't know.
I was kind of, I was funny when you said that, because I was like,
Ouch. You know, I don't want
just out the blue.
Yeah, he's still that person, but y'all did what y'all tried to do. Y'all tried mm-hmm. to help. Y'all did y'all part. And so I my heart goes out to them as well, and I pray for everybody. Like, yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Yeah. When will enough be enough? When will it be enough? Now, I'll own up to it. Like, I'm not brave enough to start some campaign. I ain't got no money either. But for people who do have money and believe that this is a worthy cause, please throw some fucking money on education. So maybe we can make some change. Those truth campaigns did a lot. It did so much. But we need someone who can do the same for this.
I agree.
There has to be something. There shouldn't be. There's no earthly reason that you should be out fucking bowling, and somebody spazzing out, and you lose your life because I can't just enjoy my life and fucking bowl.
Right.
Children. 14-year-old child? You dumb mother. I'm sorry. Oh my God, I was about to curse this man out, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rein it in here because
yeah. That's that anger. Yeah. Like that's that anger. Like, damn, how in the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
How are we here again?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, and I'll tell you, so my youngest, he wanted to go do something. And I was like, nope. I don't feel comfortable in crowds for various reasons. But the way things are, like I'm not a recluse or anything like that. I live my life and I live it. But do I move different? Absolutely. Am I eager to hang out in crowds? Nope. Parades? Nope. Do I want to go see the ball drop? Nope. I move different. And he will never understand that why. But I, as a parent, understand the whys. Because people are crazy and people are losing their shit left and right.
It's true. I even think about the past Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my son, he's still a kid, right? But he does not look his age.
Mm-hmm.
He looks every bit about 16,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he's not at all. So he looks about 16, 17. If he was just hanging out, they wouldn't know his age, yeah. right? And so I remember when he was going out for Halloween, and it's sad. It's sad. My girlfriend was even like, girl, you know, you sound a little racist, but I was like, hey, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I told him, I said, hey, you black. You're a black boy whom does not look your age. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be hanging around. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Candy and dope.
Yeah. Candy
and
dope.
And say thank you. Is that what it was? You
know? Right? Like, don't be hanging
don't
around.
Don't linger.
And don't too many of y'all group together because they get scared.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And then you don't really look your age, so they get even more scared, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, I and it's sad that that's the era that we in. I remember being able to go trick-or-treating fairly young.
Oh, by ourselves. We go to the building. We go to one building and be like.
Every freaking door there was. And going to the bodegas,
uh-huh.
like they used to stay open. Like you used to get pickles and like sandwiches sometimes. They used to like, yo.
I never got a sandwich.
I loved Halloween in New York, girl. I did. I can't tell a lie because I was like, girl, fuck this candy. I used to get food.
We used to be able to go into one big building. We'd hit that building, knock on every single door, and walk around with like a big fucking load of candy. One big building. Done. But we would go to the bodegas, but I never got a sandwich. I want to know where we were.
No, girl, yes. Like, they used to be good. Like, I used to love going. Like, yo, we'd be all up and down that darn strip. They'd be giving away all kinds of stuff. And you'd be like, I'm with it. But now, it's like,
yeah.
I don't even want them to go. Like, I'm like, I don't even want them to go trick-or-treat. And I was like, I really did. Honest to God, if it wouldn't have been for my situation, where somebody else had to kind of take over because of my situation. You know, someone else had to step in and be like, okay, I got to handle this holiday, you know, because of my situation or whatever. But, you know, we'd be right here. Hey, we're just going to sit here. We're going to cook. We're going to have some candy. We're going to bake some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to watch scary movies. Like, and they literally hate doing Halloween with me. But, I mean, I don't really blame them. And a part of me, I get a little agitated with myself because I'm like, yo, am I stopping them from being kids? Because I'm freaking afraid because I see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I want them to be innocent, right? But how do you let them be kids and be innocent and still protect them?
Yeah. Like the last time, that's been a couple of months, but the last time we went to like we went to go see a movie, and I was completely uncomfortable the whole time because I was like, I'm in this movie theater, not for me. I'm here for you, kid. And I'm sitting there and I'm like hyper vigilant through the whole time because I'm like, where the exit? Who's coming up? Who's walking down? Like I am on 20. Like it's
yeah. Being a restaurant, I remember that it was somebody I went out with, and I do know who it was. And when I look back on it, I was like, yeah, I must have really did kind of look like a crazy person, but that is really who I am. I'm watching my surroundings. I'm looking at other people. I'm watching where my ex is. Where can I go if something pop off? Is this guy suspect? You know, like, and I remember that person that I was on this day with was like, what the hell? I'm looking at everything.
Oh, no. Everything.
Because I don't know you either.
And the thing is, like, I don't know if you feel the same way, but we grew up in New York City. So we grew up a certain kind of way where it's like, clutch your bag a certain way so no one can rob it off your shoulder. Like, we lived a certain type of lifestyle where it's like, even from there, you were kind of hypervigilant because people would snatch your chain, snatch your bag. So maybe
take your sneakers, take your coat.
Oh, like, I got jumped at the train station. I got jumped at the fucking train station, people. Yes, that really happened. My pride was hurt more than anything. But because how we grew up in New York, we already have had that kind of thing. But then even living where we live now, like, it's like we're just facing a different type of threat. And it's just from doing regular stuff, you know?
Right. In a movie theater.
In a movie theater.
At an outing, at a picnic. Like, I think about...
Because that has happened in the movie theater. That happened.
It did.
Like.
Yeah, in Colorado.
Colorado. Yep.
Yeah, Colorado. Yeah, it happened. Like, and so it just makes it. I think it has really. I call it high alert. I'd be like in high alert.
Yeah.
Like, everything is suspect to me. I'm like, All right.
Everything. Everybody. Yep.
One more move and I'm out.
I found myself in a mall recently, and I don't hang out at malls because I just don't like it. I mean, first of all, the germs. Second of all, the people. But I found myself in a mall recently, and I like to people watch. So, and I've done that since I lived in New York. Like, I go to on my lunch break and I sit, eat, and just watch people. So I found myself people watching in the mall, and I'm like, there are some real strange people here.
And you're so busy looking at them like they strange.
And they're probably looking at me
looking real strange.
But I was like, is this dude going to try and take my bag? Let me hold it closer. Is this motherfucker recording me? Because it kind of looks like he is. Let me change my position.
I've had that happen. I'm like, why in the hell is this motherfucker holding his phone like this?
But the shit is, it's not unfounded. So I am not paranoid. This shit does happen. So for me, I'm like, you know, you're not going to catch me out there. Not if I can help it. So let me change positions. Let me hold this bag this way because you're not going to snatch my shit because I need to get home. But
look, I just don't want to have to go through that whole process of getting another ID.
Oh my
God. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can have whatever's in there because you'll be disappointed.
Right, I can cancel your credit card, right?
You take that shit to the bank if you want and see the outcome. You can have all of that. But trying to get another ID is my damn problem. Yeah. I'm like, who wants to go through all of that shit? I got to dig through all of this shit, find my birth certificate, find some other form of... I don't want to go through that shit. But, hey, can you just leave my ID? Hey, take everything else.
Yeah, just leave this here.
Can I just get my ID? You have it.
And my keys. Can I get my keys and my ID?
Right, and the keys. So I can go and go about my damn business, live for another day. Just take it. Go right ahead. Girl, because I said that before. I'd be leaving my pocketbook around and they'd be like, you don't feel no type of way about leaving. Nah, because they can go ahead and get identity theft for no reason. They'll be really disappointed. Like, you did all that shit for this? Like, yeah. Hey, you could have kept your own credit score for that. I'm just saying, you know?
Yeah, and we're not making light of this situation, right? But we, you know, if you've listened to us for a long enough time, you know that we're going to bring levity to any situation because, hey, some of this shit is really hard. And this is not to take away from, you know, the families of the victims, their pain. But it does really speak to how we have to live different. Mm-hmm. So I think, okay, so, you know, again, we're not trying to make light of a situation because it's impossible. But it really, the things we're talking about is just like we have to move different. And it's a matter of self-preservation and survival. So there's ways we can, yes, we still have to live our lives and do it the best way we can while keeping our safety and the safety of our loved ones. Because, you know, we've got people like this to contend with, and he's not the first one. And dare I say that he probably won't be the last.
And that's the part. That's it right there.
And
that's
yeah.
That he will probably not be the last one.
So, like, I know when we started, it was like, well, do you think we've become desensitized? No. But have we come to some sort of acceptance that this is probably going to continue happening and we just have to pray?
Yep. How sad.
Like, there is that level. Yeah, that's it. Like, we've come to the acceptance, like, okay, well, this is the life we're living in. This is the world we're living in. And how do we do that? When no one, when I say no one seems hell-bent on making it change. No one.
You know, I had to stop myself earlier, especially when we was talking about victims of gun violence. I realized as a victim of gun violence, how close. How close that really hit home.
Yeah.
I know how close we came to that for me and my family. So I definitely do not take light of it. And I know that I'm almost positive that whoever did what they did to our family, it probably wasn't even legal. Mm. There's no doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. That it was not, you know, it was not legal. But the need for change shouldn't take something this tragic. It shouldn't take loss of life. And I'm going to use part of my story as what I mean by that. I remember when I was questioning the investigator that was investigating what happened to my family. And do you know, he told me, well, if somebody would have actually died, why?
It would have been different.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Fuckers.
That's exactly what he said. And I was like, wow. Like, I had to really sit there and let that sink in. So I wanted to be thankful because I was so thankful. Mm-hmm. Right. I look back on everything that happened and I'm like, I know that was God. I know that was the divine. That was just how everything happened. From the nights prior to the, you know, when it actually happened. And I know it was God. And I, you know, I was so very thankful. But then in that moment, I thought, well, isn't this some bull?
First of all, you should have fucking said that. Let me just tell you right there. You should have kept his fucking, like, I guess, thank you for being honest. However.
Right. Like, I'm happy that I survived. And considering what happened not that long after, remember, like it was some other situations that happened, like in North Carolina, where some similar situations kind of happened, but it was really a loss of life there, right? So I'm thinking to myself, why? And that's always my question when it comes to stuff that happens, like, why does it always have to be loss of life? Why? No one should have to pay that price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of the problem. Okay, it's reactionary. There's no level of proactiveness when it comes to anything. God forbid we become proactive in our laws. How can that be? Maybe, like, it's such a foreign concept. But what I can say is, after Uvalde, Canada made their gun laws tighter, lickety-split, within 6 to 8 weeks of after Uvalde happening, and we still struggling. We still on that fucking struggle bus.
Money. Money.
Yeah. I think, so someone told me that it's because of the way we are in a two-party system, so nothing can get done unless both parties agree and the votes are there. But like Canada, they don't operate off of that same system. So it's easier for them to make things happen. But we are not, and maybe that's part of the issue. Do you think that maybe part of the problem is that we are still a very young country compared to...
You know what I think part of it is? And I might be wrong. So if I'm wrong, hey, it is what it is. You know, when people comment and send reviews, they can say whatever the hell. Come for me. I'm here for it. I think this is real shit. And I'm guilty of it. Like, I literally sat back and thought about a situation that happened. And I was like, you know what? I was more concerned about winning in that moment than the bigger picture. And sometimes I feel like because it is that two-sided, they're more concerned about winning, who's gonna have the upper hand, versus the damn need. The need is this: I don't give a fuck which one of y'all win. All I care about is, how can we make things better? Not who gonna win.
Oh, but in the process, right? They're making it worse. They're making it worse.
Correct. Because I can't get what I want. You can't get what you want. And then we're in the middle like, hey, listen, can y'all figure this out so we can survive out here?
I am, and like, I'm not saying for voting for, when I say what I say next, I'm not referring to any particular side, but I do not trust any of these politicians running around here. I don't care if you're Republican. I don't give a shit. I trust not, there's very few politicians that I see who make sense. But what I want to say, if I am hopeful about the future when it comes to this, is that I'm looking forward to the next generation of politicians. We need younger people. We need younger people. We need, I think, term limits. How you got, we need, yeah, you still, we're still operating off of people. What are we? We're Gen Xers, boomers, and the generation before. We need younger people in office. So for young people who are listening, get out there, get in politics to focus on the things that are biggest concerns to you. We need y'all. We need y'all.
And not just that, but you know, the other problem that I have with it, like, you go into politics, you get a check for the rest of your life. You ain't got to do nothing but serve, what, a term? Right? In a title?
Like, well, it depends. Term. It depends. It depends, because there's no, in certain positions, there's no term limits. Think about the people, okay, like the on the judicial court, on the Supreme Court. They don't have fucking term limits. You got running around basically being motherfucking bought and sexually harassing women, yet his ass is still on the motherfucking bench.
But wait. Well, but they're always talking about
Lord.
Always like always talking about budgets this and budgets that, but y'all not budgeting those paychecks that y'all getting for the rest of y'all
life. Oh, yeah. But...
Right? Because even, like, wait a minute. Y'all budgeting this and budgeting that, and you're taking away from kids and schools, and you're taking away from this program, and you're taking away from that program, and you're cutting back everything but your damn pocket. And that's probably part of the reason why we can't get shit done when it comes to these gun laws and the changes that we need, because everybody's more concerned about who's gonna win and is it gonna stop my money. If it's gonna stop my money, then all y'all motherfuckers can die.
They don't care.
As long as my check don't change, yeah. Right? And that's where who we vote for, like, yo, sometimes it's like, you know, Agnes, our grandmother used to say all the time, you just gotta kind of vote for the lesser evil.
Yep. Yep.
I'm like, how do you really know what that is?
Oh, you don't until you, right? And then they get in office, and then you're like, this is a shit show. Like, what the fuck just happened?
This is some bullshit.
Like, I feel.
And then that's when it really makes you mad, because you'd be like, oh, man, I voted for you.
And this time, I'm like, I'm happy I didn't vote for your dumb ass.
All right. You didn't get my vote no way, bitch.
Right. Seriously, like, ooh, you're an idiot.
He said, what?
That dude. Lord.
We just won't go there because it's a whole nother damn segment. Another episode talking about
him. I wouldn't even give him the no. Like, he needs more eyes in his ass.
Somebody say something sometimes to where you just silence, like,
because it's so stupid. You're like, what?
Like, y'all, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I just thought about that. I was like, oh my god, like, if you say some shit that can render me silent, you have accomplished some real shit. Because quite a few things,
yeah. And there's certain things, like, I don't even listen because I'm like, I don't know what you spit in here, sir, but you're doing the devil's work, and I can't hear you because I don't believe in that. It's kind of what how I've come to look at it. Yes, right. Girl.
So T, like, what is your takeaway? What is your insight? Do you feel like there is no solution, or there is no push to that solution?
I think there's a solution to any problem, and I do believe that there is a solution to this. However, I just don't think that the people who can do something about it will do something about it. Like, this, you know, this one politician, he's like, oh, he has a whole change of heart because, oh, suddenly you're impacted. But you're only speaking to a certain part of the problem when there's a really big issue. I think there's a solution, and we can find a way. Everyone has to be willing, and there's not enough people who are willing to pave way for change here. Maybe we need to be more vocal as citizens. Maybe we as citizens need to be talking to our local congressmen and saying, this needs to change. Maybe that's part of the problem, because enough of us are not speaking to our local governments. Maybe that's part of it. But there's a solution. What that solution is, I don't know. Maybe we just need to be more vocal, because it's like,
I agree.
Things don't change unless things do not change unless everyone gets together and is unified on it. That's how we made change during the civil rights movement. That's what paved that way. But there's not enough of us citizens doing the same when it comes to this issue. And that's part of the problem. But I know we can do it. If we were unified front for the politicians, so they would understand that this is a real problem for our community. The people who are actually living in the community, not you, who will have lifetime motherfucking pensions for one term and wherever the hell it is that you're going to be, or for the people who have unlimited positions, you know?
Like, they don't care what happens with healthcare because they good. They can cover it,
they talk
it, right?
About we the people. Who people? You people or us people?
Right.
Who's the people? Mm. We are the people. Wow. Like, me and you, the average citizen. So if we the people decide that this is not okay anymore, and we're work like we are talking to our local government saying this is not okay, maybe that's what's needed. Maybe that's what it is. What do you think your biggest takeaway, or is there anything that you feel like you've learned?
I mean, that's how I feel. I feel like there has to be some big changes when it comes to gun laws and what's a right and what's a privilege. And they really need to re-look at things. They re-look at everything else, but why is it so hard to take a look at this? Sometimes you have to do a redo. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is, yo, let's make it fit the time and let's make it fit the need. And I feel like when it comes to mental health, there needs to also be a big change. It needs to be some type of resources, because there definitely are resources, right? There are resources, but it should definitely be, I don't know.
It's not enough. It needs to be more.
I don't know. Maybe that's it. Maybe when it comes to mental health, it should be more. Maybe that is something else that really needs to be invested in.
Yeah, because if you think about it, like, okay, mental health for individuals, you have to have insurance. If you have insurance, you have to pay co-pays. Co-pays for a specialist like a therapist would be is not cheap. So people are just trying to live. They need to put food on their tables. Can they afford co-pays? So
right.
It's a really big thing. It's a really big thing. And so it's part of it, because that was part of it here. But we can take ownership of our shit. But if we can't afford to, because
then what?
We don't have a job. We can't afford co-pays. We can't afford health insurance. How do we do that?
Or when people are reaching and crying out for help, listen. You know, I think about when they were talking about people that are suicidal. Mm-hmm. If someone says they're suicidal, you take it serious, mm-hmm. right? I think the same thing applies.
Yeah.
The same thing applies, just because, you know, like, they have to take it serious. Yeah. Because someone's life could be at stake.
And there were 18 people's lives.
Well, my.
And then 13 people were injured.
Yeah. Countless of lives have been changed. Yeah. And just too many times.
Yeah.
Too many times to just stomach it.
Yeah. And this is now being known as the 10th most. What was it? The 10th? Let me kind of come back to that.
The 10th most deadly mass shooting.
Here. Yeah. Yep. So, for anyone who thinks that we don't have a problem, we clearly have a problem. Like, we got a problem here, folks. And let's try to figure out a way together. So that way, maybe we can prevent the next one.
Yeah. Like, yo, professionals, y'all have a solution. We're here for it.
Yeah.
Come with it. What's your take? What's your opinion? What can
even
happen,
though I feel like it's right? a little too late for this, the representative of their district to say he's reversing his opinion. I do respect the fact that he's like, man, I fucked up.
Oh yeah, it takes a big person to be like, oh, I was wrong. I hate that it took this situation to see that, but it takes that was very, very big of him, and I think that definitely is a sign of good leadership. Mm. Hey. Yeah, I was wrong. I can say I was wrong, and let me regroup.
Yeah,
and let me take another look at this.
So, like, I know, that's like, earlier, I was like, well, it's a little too fucking late now, ain't it? And yeah, it is. But I can respect the fact that he's like, okay, now I understand different, and he's big enough to say, I've had a change of heart, and I've been wrong on this. That's actually pretty big, and I can. Right. Yeah, I can respect that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I do.
Alsters. I was gonna say, Alsters, if anyone wants to come on and be a guest to do a follow up episode about this, let us know. We would love to continue this conversation. Maybe continuing the conversation of what we can do as the average citizen, of what we can do to help make change when it comes to this. We'd love to have you on. Yeah.
We would. And again, our listeners, our loyal listeners, like, I don't know, like, I've gotten some comments lately on our social media that was like, yo, my day one, like, our day one listeners, yo, they still there, like, from day one.
Day one listeners. And so, oh, I like how you say that, the day one listeners.
Day one. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, and I said it, I was like, yo, from day one, and even when we got quiet for a while, I had a few of our day ones like, hey, y'all, where y'all at? What y'all doing? Like, when y'all releasing some more? Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, so we're really grateful to everyone who hung in there and waited while we pulled our shit together to get back on these episodes and start releasing them. We thank you for your patience. Really thank you for hanging in there, and we really do see the support that you've been extending, one, by listening, of course, but then also sending us, like, personal messages saying, wow, you guys are doing great. Like, we really appreciate that, because we first of all couldn't do it without you.
Oh, no, that's right.
Yep.
Like, it's because of you guys, and not just our day one listeners, but people that started tuning in, like, let's listen, and gave us a shot.
Yeah.
Because that in itself, yo, we're grateful for it. Like, please tune in. Come listen to our episodes. Listen to season one. Listen to season two. Come look at how we have grown and evolved and gotten better and can still do better. And we appreciate you guys, and we need you for that. Definitely.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you so much, Alsters. We really appreciate you. Thank you for listening to this episode. And as always, what do we ask for, sister?
We ask for feedback. We ask for feedback. But before I ask for feedback, I really do want to send my condolences. Definitely send my condolences to those families and that whole entire community.
Yeah. Yeah, because we wouldn't be here talking about this in particular had that not happened.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
We're sorry. We're sorry that this is even an episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but as always, feedback, give it to us. We're here for it. The good, the bad, the ugly, the deserved and undeserved. We're We'll take it.
We will take everything. And if it's a really good one, we will put it on a fucking episode. So, yeah, absolutely. Send us a message. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you, and peace out.
All right, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate your support, whether you're listening to our podcast or even following us on our social media pages. Please check us out on our website at www.oustnow.com, where you can find out where you can listen, all those platforms that we're available on. Don't forget to leave us a message with feedback.